Amen. Quite an exciting episode in the life of the Lord Jesus. He'd just come out, we're told in the earlier chapter, just left Judea, where he has, we heard, declared that the prophet is not honored in his own country, so they'd rejected him, and he went through Samaria. And you remember in Samaria, he met that woman by the well, and then the whole of that village related to her believed in him. He then moved into Galilee, and we're told there the Galileans believed him because they had been up in Jerusalem and seen and heard the wonderful things he did there. And of course also, as he came to Cana, there were rumors around again for what he had done previously, that wonderful miracle he had performed of turning water into wine. So the atmosphere, in a sense, was quite charged. There's quite a sort of expectation about the situation. And then really, I suppose, in many respects, quite a surprise for this royal official came to Jesus. I don't know, in our little presentation this morning, he came by himself, but I imagine, probably being a royal official, he came with a company. He traveled some 20 miles to get there. Don't know how many people are prepared to go 20 miles sometimes to meet Jesus, but he did. Traveled 20 miles. And when he got there, I don't know, again, whether he was a Jew in working under the Roman system or whether he was a Gentile and just didn't recognize Jesus as a Jew. But he came to this man who he must have gathered was a teacher, a rabbi, a man who performed miracles. But of course, he came with a desperate need. I find here a wonderful illustration of real prayer. He knew his need. I don't know, those of you who are parents, if your child was near to death, whether you would simply say, well, yes, perhaps I ought to pray about this. Surely, if a child is that near to death, you'd be urgent in your prayer. Are we as urgent in all our prayers? Or do we just come to God and say, well, by the way, I wouldn't mind that, and if you could do this, it'd be nice, and just list things off? Or do we come to God and say, I have a need, desperate need? And also, he humbled himself, this royal official. He begged Jesus. I don't think he just simply said, Jesus, could you come and heal my son? I'm sure he was on his knees, probably, in the dust, in all his robes and whatever he was, and said, Lord, will you come? My son is dying. Please! How are your prayers like that? Do you beg? Do you plead? Do you hold on tight to your request? Is it something that matters to you? The trouble is, we've got so many other things, haven't we? We've got doctors and people around and insurance and everything helps cover the various needs we have. This man, I presume, by this time, had gone through all the medical advice that was available. He was a fairly rich man, presumably. He'd gone to the doctor and the specialist and all the rest, you know. He'd been through that lot. He'd got nothing left but a dying son. And this man, Jesus, earnestly begged. I believe Jesus' answer, as we have it in verse 48 there, when it says, you only respond if you see signs. I don't think that was a serious rebuke. I'm not a great scholar, admittedly, but I just feel that Jesus, he's far too gracious. When he sees a man come in that desperate need, I believe he was saying, you know the situation, not just you, but everybody, we're all looking for signs, aren't you? He said the same thing, of course, to his disciples, especially to poor Thomas. See, you only respond when you see the evidence. But you see, miracles and signs, we're told at the end of chapter 20 in this gospel, they were given as ways of bringing people to put their trust in Jesus. The gospel says that many signs he did And these were done that people might see and believe. So I don't think Jesus was being very hard on the man. He just was saying, the situation is, here you are and you want another sign. Okay. But then come to the very interesting conversation part that went on, because the man was desperate and Jesus didn't seem to be in much of a hurry. Sir, come down before my little boy dies. Can you hear that cry from his heart? I'm sure you've seen pictures of the parents of Madeline, haven't you, little Maddie? And they're not quite so much now, but initially how disturbed they were. I've never been in a situation where my children have been in danger like that. I can remember the time we got lost on the beach. That was bad enough. It lasted about 25 hours, but actually I think officially it was more like 5 minutes. But it was it was dreadful. And can you imagine your son? Come, sir, come down, my little boy. He's just about to die. What is Jesus' answer? It's interesting. Go. Excuse me, sir, but I said, would you come? That was his request. That was his prayer. Jesus, come and heal my son. It's the right thing to do. Come and lay your hands on him. Pray over him. Maybe sort of sprinkle some holy dust or something. I don't know. Come and do something. Jesus said, go. Does he answer your prayer like that sometimes? With a word. The word go is all that was needed. Go. We didn't expect that answer, but that's the answer Jesus gave. I'd just like to challenge you, if I may. How often when you pray, do you come from your prayer having heard Jesus give an answer as clear as that? You know, sometimes we hear God and we sort of think, well, I need a confirmation. I need some sort of reassurance. I was correct. I need another verse in the Bible, perhaps. And I need this and I need that. This man did not need that. Isn't it glorious? He challenges us. He heard that word to go and he went. So many of us would call our friend and say, do you know, I think God is saying, I should do this. I think God is saying I should help with helping with the coffee corner. I think God is saying I should give some money to this cause. I think God is saying, whatever. Would you like to help me to understand whether God is saying it or not? Haven't you heard God? Haven't you heard God? Do you need to pander around? This man didn't. Jesus said, go, and he went. I have a naughty mind, I know. You have to excuse me here, but I can imagine some of us modern people, if that had happened, we would have phoned, you know, by our mobiles, would have called our servant, excuse me, is he any better? You know, we want confirmation. He didn't want. No, he went. We hadn't got room in the church here, but I'm sure he left more than a few paces. As in our drama this morning, he hadn't gone very far. I'm quite sure he's travelled on some way before the man came rushing back to meet him. Halfway, probably. He had to travel all that way. What was he thinking as he went? Will he be better? Will it work? Should I ask? Should I have paid him some money? No, I don't think so. He went, Lord, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. What a great man Jesus is. Are you ready to hear God and to go? To hear God and do it. You see, the title today is Man Was Healed by a Word. The Word of God we heard read in the passage from Hebrews is living and active. Excuse me saying this, I should get into trouble. I've done it before. When it says that, it's not speaking about this. This is not living. Excuse me. Jesus is the living word. And praise God, we have this written word that reveals the living word to us. So when Jesus spoke the word, it was he, as it were, his word that went. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the living word. And he spoke that word to that man. Also, that Hebrew passage tells us that it divides The word of God divides. Sometimes Christians are criticized for being divisive. I am divisive. I believe that either you are or you're not born again of the Holy Spirit. I believe you either are or not a Christian. There is a division, clear cut. The word of God divides, Jesus divides. And may I say to anyone here this morning who doesn't know which side of the fence they're on, you can't be on the fence if there isn't one to sit on. Let's make sure you're on the right side of the fence, as it were. Let's make sure you are one who follows the word of the Lord Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you and forgive you your sins. The word of God divides. So this morning, I don't know, maybe someone here who realizes, I need to make sure that I obey that word, the living word of the Lord Jesus. Of course, this story ends in a wonderful, wonderful truth, does it not? It ends by the fact that he got home and found his son alive and well. And as a result, his trust in Jesus' word became belief in him as the Lord. I can guarantee that if God says something to you, it will be fulfilled because God is faithful. And you then will be one of those who says, praise God, that word that was spoken has been true. I put my trust in him who is the living word, even the Lord Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Let's obey him. Amen.